is the Sports Den with Denny Thompson and James Coleman on 1010XL.
Hopefully you guys had a great Father's Day weekend full of ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. Like, full of ABC to the point where you're just now feeling back to normal. Hopefully that was your weekend. We had a great weekend here on the Sports Den. We learned a valuable lesson. James isn't with us tonight. James is in Tallahassee for a youth football camp. So
standard is the standard.
Exactly.
Is the standard.
And youth football is the standard. So JJ and I can talk about James, and JJ and I quickly on Saturday night at Guns N' Hoses, in which New York wanted none of this business from Jacksonville. They wanted nothing to do with the boys in blue and red from Jacksonville. We learned that never again are we sending James Coleman to a weigh-in.
Or at least not for his analysis.
No.
Because we were told Friday night that Jacksonville was going to lose basically every match.
Right.
And almost the complete opposite happened.
Oh, yeah, largely. I mean, the only two that Jacksonville lost were split decisions.
And
they were 7-2 at Guns N' Hoses.
And some of them weren't very close.
No,
gosh, some of the beatdowns that Jacksonville was giving out. But I'll say this. When they walked, because I could see what James was thinking. Because when they walked to the ring beforehand, it was like New York first and then the Jacksonville people behind them. I was like the same feeling. I don't know if we're going to win this one. I don't feel very confident about this. I felt the same way James did. I judged a book by its cover, and I was wrong.
Well, I could see that. It was JJ's first experience at Guns N' Hoses. We tell everybody every year it is a calendar event.
It was awesome.
One that when it comes out, you want to buy your tickets, you want to be at. If you haven't been there before, you need to go. And we're not saying that because they don't pay us. Like, I'm telling you, it is a premier event in the city of Jacksonville.
They did swoo me with the good seats, though.
Yeah, we had decent seats.
Oh,
yeah.
They were awesome seats. They were basically, they were literally the closest you could get without being like a scorer or a bell guy.
Yeah, I mean, we had like sweat knocked onto us.
It was awesome. Yeah. And I was expecting a lot of hugging, a lot of tiredness. And I didn't see a lot. I mean, there was some of that, obviously.
No, the quality of fight was much better.
Okay, yeah, it definitely was legit.
In the past, and when it's been policemen versus firefighters, you know, you got to pull like 30 fighters together.
And this was like the best.
This was nine. Yeah, this was nine fighters, men and women. And, I mean, the quality was there. And when I say Jacksonville whipped that butt, it's like JJ said, most of them weren't even close.
We had a knockout. First round KO. Mm. And it was a heavy guy. It was a big boy.
Yeah.
From New York. Took a tumble. And then got up. Sort of wobbly. Ref let him go. And he just kept taking a pounding. And to get a knockout, it's only 1 minute rounds. With headgear on. And I'm sure your gloves are really big. Like. Well, it's hard to do.
One of the first women's fight ended.
We should talk about that.
Yeah.
So she didn't win. I'm sorry. Jacksonville was 6-3.
What do you mean she didn't win?
She won, but she shouldn't have won. Because, and this was the fight, there was beef. Like, in the weigh-in,
yeah,
there was a chair thrown, there was shoving and pushing. So, like, these girls were super hyped to get after each other. And in the first round, one of them, I guess, was grabbing on, and instead of the other one just kind of grabbing on and letting the ref break him up, she grabs her by the legs and, like, scoops her and knocked her to the ground, which is an obvious foul in boxing. And the girl, like, hurt her ACL, the New Yorker, or something. Like, she could not put any weight on her knee.
Yeah, she was done.
And she was ready to keep going, but the guy in the corner is, like, you know, probably saying, you know,
well,
you have to go to work on Monday.
She,
you know,
literally could,
like,
not stand up.
Yeah, you're going to get waxed.
Yeah.
Now this poor girl took an L, which it should have been ruled like a foul.
And then the second women's fight was amazing because remember the Jacksonville lady, it was like, yo, play some defense. Because the first round, she just got pummeled. The other girl got so tired that she got her butt whipped the last two rounds.
I would say
it was a bold strategy.
Just use your face.
Yes.
I would say out of the eight fights I saw, because I did leave early to watch game 7, I wanted to get home. I would say 7 out of those, I saw zero head movement whatsoever.
Yeah, the one that you were talking about, though, was legit.
Yeah, there was a couple guys that you were like, okay, you could see them if they had enough time and energy.
They knew what they were doing.
They could probably get a couple pro fights under their belt.
Yeah, the Texan's weighing in on the last fight, too. You missed
the main event. I was in a downpour, by the way. I was caught halfway between the arena and my car when all of a sudden
That's tough.
And I had white shoes on. They're ruined.
678 says it best. He says, the New York main event was a effing tree stump. You're right. The dude was like 5'10", 230. Whoa. No, not even. He's probably 5'8", 230, no fat. Like, just yoked. And it went the full 3 rounds. It was a split decision.
Oh, so it was close.
Yeah, it was a great fight. So, anyway, we won't spend the whole show on Guns and Hoses.
There was some lax judging at times. I saw, I'm not going to say who, a certain co-host of the Sports Den that's not Denny Thompson.
That's not
sometimes here. Was talking on the phone while the fight was going on, that he was judging.
Right.
Sometimes he showed up literally 30 seconds before the fight started.
Right.
But, yeah. Hey.
I took my judging duties very seriously.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
And there was actual legit people. Like the guy next to you, who used to be like a Golden Gloves guy, he was really locked in.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He was taking it super serious.
He didn't blink. Didn't blink one time when he was judging. So, good times. Thank you.
I couldn't believe how packed it was, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
great event.
Tons of people.
Great event. I do want to get into, I know we got Dr. Swanson coming up next, but I want to get into, I'm going to tease it a little bit, name, image, likeness, because we're getting closer and closer to July 1st, and there's more and more and more starting to come out about this. And I almost think that people don't, when they think name, image, likeness, and I'm going based off of the social media conversations and some of the conversations that I've had with buddies of mine, it's almost like people don't really understand what that is. In their mind, it's college athletes getting paid, period. And I don't think people can really wrap their head around where the money's coming from, how it's getting to them, like all of that kind of stuff. Now, not all of those questions have been answered, which is a little weird since it's going to start here in a couple of weeks. But a lot of them have, and I've learned a lot. Like, I'm not a know-it-all on this by any stretch of the imagination, but I've learned a lot from the guys that we train, from agents that I work with, from my agent. It's very interesting stuff, and there will be, if you're listening to this and you don't like it and you say, man, when people start making real money, I'm not watching college football. Well, you can stop watching because there will be many six-figure football players on a college football field this fall. Many of them. There will be guys who aren't making a penny playing right alongside with them. It's a combination of corruption and capitalism that makes this country great. So I want to get into that after we get to Dr. Swanson, but Dr. Chris Swanson is coming up next.
Southeast Orthopedic Specialist presents Dr. Chris Swanson on the Sports Den. A board-certified orthopedic surgeon specializing in sports medicine, Dr. Swanson has been assistant team physician for the Cincinnati Bengals and Drexel University men's basketball and is the current team physician for several area high schools. Visit se-ortho.com.
Every Monday night, Dr. Chris Swanson from Southeast Orthopedic Specialist joins us on the Sports Den to talk injuries in sports. Well, that's what we're supposed to talk about. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't even get into an injury. Doc, how you doing, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
We are fantastic. We are without James, so it's just me and JJ tonight. Dr. Swanson joining us from Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. If you have a knee or shoulder issue, make sure you go to se-ortho.com. When you give them a call, ask for Dr. Swanson. They work on a variety of things, but knees and shoulders are his specialty. Doc, I want to get right into this story that I sent to our group right when I saw it on a group chat, and then somebody else sent it to us too, a George Mason baseball player. Did you see this?
This I did not see, no.
Okay, George Mason baseball player had Tommy John surgery. He's 20 years old and died June 12th. We always hear about anytime you have surgery, you want to avoid surgery if you can. There's inherent risks of surgeries, all that kind of stuff, right? Is this just one of those situations where that's the one in a million example?
Yeah, I mean, especially after a Tommy John surgery, you know, to develop, I did actually hear about that, to develop a blood clot after an upper extremity surgery, it's super rare. To develop a blood clot after an elbow surgery, even more rare. And to have it be the kind of blood clot that kills you is really like that one in a million or even lower than that scenario.
So that's what happened here is they did the surgery. He developed a blood clot, and that's ultimately what got him?
Yeah, the blood clot caused a pulmonary embolism, which means that the clot goes to the lung, and then it can be fatal in some cases.
Wow. Yeah, 20 years old pitcher. I mean, we think of Tommy John like we almost think of ACLs now.
Like it's and the truth is developing a blood clot after an ACL surgery would be much more common. So after an ACL, you'd be substantially more likely to develop a blood clot from that than you would from an elbow surgery.
Why is that?
Lower extremity surgeries, when your weight bearing is limited a little bit and you're not able to be up and moving around as quickly, puts you at a little bit of an increased risk of developing blood clots. It's still very, very low for arthroscopic lower extremity surgeries like ACLs, but it's definitely slightly higher than an elbow surgery. And so there's definitely a chance that he had an underlying condition he just didn't know about that may have made him hypercoagulable.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So, I mean, will they find that out?
It depends, you know, how kind of deep of a dive they do into an autopsy, but my guess is probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen a rash of injuries in the NBA this year. In the playoffs, LeBron, if you listen to him, he'll tell you, and he's right. You know what? I shouldn't say it that way. He's right. He has been talking about this since the very beginning of the basketball season. And in fact, it's the reason why I was a Laker fan. I knew they weren't going to do anything this year because he talked about how he wasn't going to hurt himself with a quick turnaround, and they just won their championship. Is that really what's going on? Is it the quick turnaround from last season to this season? Does it make that big of a difference that it's causing a lot of these injuries or contributing to a lot of these injuries we're seeing in the NBA playoffs, which are phenomenal, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no question that the turnaround for the season is quick. You know, they crammed 72 games into a pretty short timeline. I think statistically, though, that leading up to the playoffs, the amount of injuries was on par with every other season. The ratio of injuries was on par with every other season. I think it's almost kind of like the start of the NFL season last year, right? Where the first couple of weeks, everyone's freaking out because you have a few big name guys go down with injuries and everyone's like, oh, it's got to be the training alteration from COVID, blah, blah, blah. And I think now we're seeing the same thing where you've seen some big name guys miss a little bit of time here in the playoffs. And so, I think you get a little bit of that overreaction. There's no question it was a quick turnaround, but
And what they won't tell you is a lot of these guys that are going down didn't play like a ton in the regular season anyways.
Yep.
Correct.
They were out for 30 games, some of these guys. The Embiids, the ADs, the Kawhis, like they didn't play in general. So they were I think that hurt because they weren't, you know, in the flow, especially LeBron, like they weren't in the flow of things when the playoffs started, when the pace starts to pick up a little bit, you know, like every possession is really tough and their bodies just weren't used to it, I guess.
Right. But that's not a popular storyline, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because they just want to, it's always about how the players are getting.
Well, there's that old saying, Doc, that killed. You get hurt when you start worrying about getting hurt.
And when you're going, if you're not going full speed, that's when you get hurt.
And I think if, you know, the NBA regular season, there were a lot of games, even when they were playing JJ, that it was not good basketball. It wasn't full speed.
Oh, the NBA regular season this year was so bad. It was as bad as I can remember.
Right. And so that was going to be, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth, JJ. That was going to be my question to Doc. Is it possibly the sudden ramp up in intensity? Because the playoffs have been spectacular since the first ball was
since the playing tipped. Games.
Yes. I mean, they have been intense, amazing, great theater and TV. Could it just be that they're going from 40% to 100%, and that's why we're seeing the injuries?
Yeah, I mean, I think that could play a little bit of it. I mean, I think more than anything else, it's just, knee injuries happen in basketball.
And like Kyrie just fell on a guy's ankle. Like, that has nothing to do with anything.
Those fluky things, there's a chance that happens to any player in any game. And,
right.
And a big portion of these are just things that happen.
Like, KD literally played, like, every single minute for, like, two straight games. This guy's coming off Achilles.
Three straight games.
Yeah.
He
seemed to be fine out there. I think a lot of it is for James Harden coming up limp with a hamstring. The guy didn't play the last 2 months of the regular season. Like, of course his body wasn't ready. And this guy's known for being a fat ass. What about Kawhi? So they're saying he has a knee sprain. They said he's already out game two. But it's not an ACL tear like we originally thought. So do you see him returning if this goes, five, six, seven games?
I haven't really heard any details.
None.
On that. It's been pretty coy about what's actually going on. But I also haven't heard anything about him making any progress towards really getting any closer to playing. So,
well, when you hear
a knee sprain, is that just so vague you can't tell?
Yeah, I mean, it's so vague, it means he could have injured any of the ligaments around his knee. It can be really minor. It can be kind of medium grade. They really haven't given, like, a shred of detail on
it. It's got to be bad.
Really hard to say. It's got to be my feeling, because of how little information there is that it's probably worse than they're saying, and he's probably not going to play no matter what. And they're just trying to leave that illusion that he might be able to come back and play out there so that Phoenix doesn't
just
because
why not?
Well, because he's not even traveling.
Yeah, I haven't seen him on the sidelines.
Yeah, well, I'm reading an article here. It says he's not traveling. So when we see a knee injury and then the next report we see is, x-rays came back negative or, something like along those lines, that doesn't mean that they're fine, right? That they're
correct.
Still injured. Yeah. It just eliminates the worst of the worst possibility.
Correct. The x-ray coming back normal is, is almost all the time. The only thing that's going to show up on an x-ray really is a broken bone, and very few of the sports injuries end up with broken bones that show up on an x-ray. So the x-ray coming back normal is routine. Then they go for an MRI to look at all the soft tissue structures. That's usually when you can figure out kind of the severity of a sprain, whether you have a tear, and then you can really quantify at that point usually how quickly somebody can be back. So he's obviously had an MRI, but they just haven't really released much in terms of detail.
So we've got a question on the text line that's interesting. The Lifetime of Closures text on 944 says, the blood clot issue that killed the pitcher after Tommy John's because of it being an upper extremity clot, could it be tied to the COVID vaccine with that being a side effect of it?
So there's no question that the COVID vaccine, a number of the different vaccines have caused clotting issues. And, they've caused clots in people's brains, lower extremities, upper extremities. So it certainly is possible that could have played a role in it, especially depending on when he had had the vaccine. If it was somewhat recently, then there'd be a higher chance that could be playing a role.
I was going to ask you about that. So I thought about this the other day because I got the vaccine and my last shot was, I don't know, a month ago, maybe a little bit over a month ago. How long after do you worry about side effects of a vaccine or a shot or of anything? Not necessarily even just COVID, but anything.
Well, I mean, so typically speaking, most of the vaccines that we all get on a routine basis have been studied and trialed for so long that they're, people are really aware of what the potential side effects are. But with COVID, it's the opposite. I mean, we don't know with the virus itself or with the vaccine kind of when we still may see side effects from it. There's still stuff coming out all the time. The myocarditis is kind of, which is inflammation of the heart, that's kind of reemerged as a problem actually for younger males, like 16 to 25-year-old males. They've been finding that downstream. So the answer on the COVID is COVID vaccine as well as the diseases. We just still don't know.
Great. I was hoping Doc would be like, if you're 3 weeks out, you're good.
After 21 days, you're fine. That's what they say. Yeah.
28.
Danny, you'll be fine. You're fine.
Yeah.
28 days I'm later, sure. You're good.
Aha, one of the underrated horror thriller movies out there.
What?
28 Days Later. See, you don't even know.
No, no idea.
Me either.
Oh, really? That's crazy that you said that. I thought you were referencing that film. Did you watch the golf this weekend, Doc?
Yes.
It was sick. It was sick.
The ending was unbelievable. Kind of poetic justice for John Rahm.
Oh, so much so. He was the guy, obviously, Denny, if you forgot a couple weeks ago, they came up to him on the course and were like, hey, you know that $1.6 million you're about to make next tomorrow? Yeah, you're not going to. You're actually not even going to play. Deuces, you have COVID.
Yep.
But it turned out to be a false positive.
Is that true?
That's what I heard.
Oh, my God.
I had not heard that either.
I think so.
Absolutely should be a lawsuit.
Oh, my
God. I think if you had asked him 2 weeks ago, would you withdraw from the memorial to win the U.S. Open and get $2.25 million? I think he'd just sign up for that.
Well, I don't know what one has to do with the other, though.
Why can't he win both? Done both.
But yeah, because he needed that karma.
That motivation.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, guys like never win two tournaments in 3 weeks. Like, that's...
Except for Tiger.
Except for Tiger.
Who won like 4 years worth in a row.
Like, I love Oosthuizen. And I would have liked to see him get another one, but it was nice to see John Rahm win after that.
The end was just awesome.
It was.
Bryson beat DeChambeau melting down in the lead going into the 10th hole.
When he
ate over.
What was that par 3? Was it the 10? I forget which one it was, but he was tied for the lead, hits a par 3 within like 2 feet of the hole, not even. And I'm like, oh, he's going to run away with this now. This is his. And collapsed.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't
made
see,
me happy. I'm not
I didn't
fan.
See how he finished, but at one point he was
finished well, probably one or two under
for the tournament. He was three over.
Oh, whoa!
Three over.
Yeah, he was six over yesterday.
He shot eight over on the last eight hole.
Yeah, because well, I was going to say because at one point he went bogey, bogey, double, double, I think, or bogey, bogey, double, bogey.
He had a quadruple bogey. He had an eight.
Oh, jeez.
And he hit a shot that I could definitely hit just the. Gold shot out of the rough. It was great.
I love that they made the last couple holes birdieable, though. You know, unlike the rest of the back nine. It made it for an exciting finish.
He did. He shot a 44 on the back.
Yeah, with an eight.
Wow.
It was a really cool eight, too.
I kind of like that they moved this golf schedule and put the PGA in the middle.
Oh, no doubt. PGA
is kind of like everything's going smooth, you know, back to back every few weeks you got one.
PGA is far and away the forgotten one. Like,
and, in but years now past, that, now you're it's in football less forgotten.
Season. I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, in years past, you're in football season.
Exactly.
The players was more important than the PGA championship mm-hmm. in the past. No doubt. Did you get on the golf course for Father's Day, Doc?
Yeah, I got out on Saturday, a little day early, but I got the reprieve and got out there.
Good, good. One more quick thing. We had an injury at Guns N' Roses on Saturday night.
I saw you out there on social media.
Yeah, young lady.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in person. You're like, you didn't want to come say what up.
Young lady, I mean, it looked like some pretty bad knee damage. Got taken down full sumo style in the middle of a boxing match. And couldn't continue.
I actually don't even know if that's a legal move in sumo.
Yeah.
She kind of like grabbed her by the legs and like sweeped her up, scooped her.
She got the win. she got the W, Doc. She was eating W's like Jameis.
You should have seen her in the corner. She was like wanting to fight her corner man to get back out there. And you could tell he was just like, you have to go to the office on Monday. Like, we have a flight in 3 hours. It's like, no.
Well,
you already heard enough.
That and the fact she literally could not put weight on her right
leg. At all.
No. No, she was just spinning around in a circle when she was trying to walk.
So for a police officer, Doc, that has to be on your feet, I don't know. I guess they're in their car a lot, but you have to be able to get out of your car and be on your feet.
She's on desk duty for the next 6 months.
Yeah, what is she – how long is she out for? Well, how long is a regular old Joe – out of commission if he has a job where he has to stand around, walk around,
and he's
got
an
ACL.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the same thing for a police officer, especially. It's like you have to treat it basically like a professional athlete because although you may be able to ride for most of the time or be at a desk for most of the time, if you're in a position of danger, you got to be able to move and potentially move quickly.
Skedaddle. So, I
mean, they're looking at being out for 6 months, probably.
Jeez.
6 to 9 months, just like a running back on the Jags. I mean,
all because some jerk lady in Jacksonville slammed your ass illegally.
And she still got the W.
I'm sure there's some sort of insurance thing through helmets.
Helmets and hoses. Guns and hoses. Yeah.
That's workers' comp, I think, right?
Yeah. We were talking about that. You think it is?
Drug testing?
I mean, it would seem like it might be.
I'm sure they'll take care of
it. Some of those guys did look like they were juicing.
I'm down for it because it was a good product. All right, Doc, we appreciate it. Happy Father's Day to you, by the way.
Thanks. You too, Danny.
I appreciate it. We will talk to you next week. This is Dr. Chris Swanson from Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, se-ortho.com. There's locations all over town. They do just about everything. But if you're looking for knee or shoulder, if you've got knee or shoulder issues, don't walk around with that anymore. Don't complain about it. Go and see Dr. Swanson at se-ortho.com. Get that taken care of. He'll get you right in, get you taken care of. You'll be back to healthy in no time. Doc, we appreciate it. Have a great week, my man.
All right, guys, you too.
All right. Let's come back. Let's get into some of that name, image, likeness. What actually is it? Like some examples. And then we also got to get into NBA playoffs. They're phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal right now. We'll get into all that coming up next.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
It is a Sports Den brought to you by TheHumidor.com. Make sure you get to TheHumidor.com for all of your cigar needs. Father's Day is coming and gone, but it is summertime. And football season is coming up. So now's the time to get in shape, in football shape. Not football shape like a professional athlete, football shape like a spectator. Order those cigars. Get used to them. Well, during football season, you got Thursday night football, Friday night football, Saturday, Sunday, Monday night football with fans this year. Get ready for it. Get to TheHumidor.com. Order all the cigars you can. Type in Sports Den when you check out, all lowercase, all one word, and you'll get 20% off of your order at TheHumidor.com. Big topic these days, going to be bigger in the upcoming weeks, is name, image, and likeness of your favorite college athletes. I feel like we've been talking about this for the better part of a year or two. On some level, for the better part of 5 years, it's been a topic. State started jumping into action, I guess, about a year ago, year and a half ago. And now it is upon us to where it is going to be legal for athletes to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. So when we talk about name, image, and likeness, like I don't, you know, what does that mean? And I think it can mean a lot. Well, I know it can mean a lot of different things, but let me kind of tell you in the different ways and give examples that athletes can start to get paid now. The UCF kicker a couple years ago, punter, kicker, whatever it was, had a YouTube channel, very popular YouTube channel. NCAA ruled him ineligible because he was profiting. Wasn't doing anything at UCF, wasn't doing anything with UCF, wasn't doing anything about UCF. He was doing it about him. He can now do that. Any social media outlet he can do. And that's a big one. Like, I think for the majority of people like my age, who I'm 44, about to be 45, the majority of people in this age bracket don't understand what social media is today. Social media is literally these young people's net worth. It's a brand. And companies are paying for that social media outreach. YouTube pays based on the number of views you have. TikTok pays based on the number of views you have. Things like that. There are product placement deals to be had. So if you are a college football player who happens to have, whether you're a superstar or not, well, if you happen to have 50,000, 100,000 followers, you should be able to profit off of that. I think we can all agree on that. They will now be able to do that. What's interesting in the world that a lot of people aren't aware of is just this streaming stuff with games. It's huge. Absolutely huge. And people are growing these networks organically. And so if you're a college football player or college athlete, I say college football player, I shouldn't say that, college athlete, and you've organically grown this following, it has been against the rules for you to get paid from this. Now it's not. Now you can. That's the thing that I think when people talk about name, image, likeness, they instantly go to, oh, the car dealership's going to sponsor the quarterback at Alabama. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But that's not where the minds of these guys, the young guys, the athletes are. That's not where the minds of these young women are. Like the car dealership is, we think about nightclubs and car dealerships and restaurants. Because that's when we grew up, that's what it was. Pepsi, Coke, things like that. That's not where this is. Where the opportunity is for these guys is, like I said, social media streaming. I'll give you another example in apparel. I use Josh Dobbs as an example in this because I feel like Josh is a good example. Because you can use Tim Tebow, you can use Jameis Winston, but those are all like the 1%, 1% of 1% guys, right? We can all agree they should have been paid because they made their university so much money. Josh Dobbs, if you Google Josh Dobbs, there's one play that pops up nonstop. He threw a Hail Mary when he was at the University of Tennessee against Georgia and won the game. And in that, he kind of had this, you know, like celebration, just arms up type celebration that was, you know, captured all over the place. We talked about this last year when he was in Six Points. If he would have had the ability to have, at that time, it wasn't a thing, but if he had had the ability to have 50,000 Instagram followers, 50,000 TikTok followers, and he could have had a t-shirt, hat, or whatever printed and sold that through those Instagram stores, he'd have made a killing. He just couldn't use the T, right? He couldn't use the University of Tennessee. That's trademarked. He could use the colors. He could use his picture. It's his name, image, and likeness. He could use his name. Tennessee fans would have eaten that up. They could have sold any number of these things. You take Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow could have sold shirts. Even on an NFL level, you think about all the Gardner Minshew shirts that you saw when he came in. If you have the ability to control that, if you have people looking out for you and the ability to distribute that and trademark and whatever needs to happen to profit from it, you should absolutely be able to do that. That's what these guys are going to be able to do. And so what it's going to do in a lot of cases, it's going to teach these guys about business. Having the team around them to capitalize on certain things. Now, there are already companies lining up for these guys. There have been studies done based on the value of their name. Quarterbacks across the country who are starters at big programs, these schools have already invested and done these studies on based on name recognition, social media imprint, things like that. Quarterbacks at major universities, starting quarterbacks, are worth six figures. They will get six figures. It's going to happen. The other people that are going to benefit from this greatly are big-time recruits, 4- and 5-star recruits. The McDonald's bags full of cash don't need to happen anymore. McDonald's can pay him now. Straight up pay him. Brock Vandergriff, who was a 5-star quarterback who signed with Georgia, already has an endorsement deal lined up. And I want to say it's several other freshmen at Georgia have the same company, and I'm looking it up now, so that when it starts, he's good to go. Let me see where I can find this. Already has endorsement lined up once NIL passes in Georgia. See if I can find the name of this company. But I want to say that this company signed like 4 or 5 Bulldog players, and they will start getting paid July 1st, which is when this rule becomes effective. Onward Reserve is the name of the company. I don't know what Onward Reserve is. I'm going to guess it's an apparel company because that seems to be the people who are getting involved now. Let's see. Onward. Anybody finding this? Yes, men's clothing store in Athens, Georgia, is what Onward Reserve is. I don't know how much it's going to pay him. He didn't have to disclose that.
Certainly looks expensive.
Does it?
Yes.
But it's there. And it's one of those things. Now, here's the thing. Players are going to have to be a little careful on this. And I think this is where James and I kind of differ on this. You can't just go say yes to everybody. You can't do that. Like, you need to decide what your image is. You need to know what your worth is. You need to know who you are before you start, you know, just saying yes to every $1,000, $2,000 deal. You may be worth more than that in a few months.
Or you may need to jump on that.
Right, right. Exactly. Like just because your boy got 10 racks from somewhere doesn't mean that you're worth $10. Y'all may be on the same scholarship at the same school, but his name, he may have done a much better job branding himself through social media than you have. He may be on the field. He may be more of a position of prominence than what you have on that football field. There's a bunch of different things that go into this. But the main thing is, when you hear name, image, and likeness, don't automatically go to the Ford dealership, the local Ford dealership. Expand your thoughts on this, because that's where these guys are at. We are, at Six Points, is actively working on apparel deals. Like, actively working. We want to have the ability to print, distribute, ship, and pay when one of our guys does something noteworthy that a fan base will buy. Because the fan base is either going to buy it, they're going to buy it. They might as well buy it from the kid. The kid might as well get paid. So now that distribution network is what it's all about. It is all sports. So somebody on the text line said, what about baseball and basketball? I just hear football, but can the other sports benefit? Yes, they can benefit too. In fact, where you're going to see huge benefits in this is women's sports.
I was about to say, you're a gymnast. You have like 500,000 followers or something on Instagram. Sell whatever. I don't even know. What do IG models sell?
No, but go down that road. If you are a softball player, a gymnast, a volleyball player, all that kind of stuff, there are specialized companies for those things. Like, collegiate gymnasts are very, very popular. You try to get a ticket down in Gainesville to a gymnastics meet. It's one of the hardest tickets to come through. So there are specific products for all of these different things. And in some ways, I know there's the Olympics, but as far as continuation of sport, like, they are the top. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But does college girls basketball pull better ratings than the WNBA?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Right?
Yes.
It definitely pulls bigger attendance figures.
There's a reason why you have to stay in school, I believe, all 4 years in women's basketball. It's because that's the bigger product, isn't it? Like,
I mean, we were watching the Women's College World Series for softball. Packed. Does very good numbers on ESPN.
And remember, like, that James Madison girl that James loved? I believe it was James Madison.
I don't.
There was a pitcher who James was obsessed with that pitched like 1,000 pitches over the last few weeks. And she became like a household name for a few days, even though I can't remember it.
The Alabama pitcher. I'd never heard
exactly,
of her.
Exactly, the best one.
And then all of a sudden, like, she was all over the place. The thing about it, like, guys my age don't know these people, but you know who does? The people who need to know them. If you go look these women up, if you go look these guys up.
And you only need to know them for a weekend to sell you a product.
Well, they've got 50,000 followers. Think about that. They've got a market of 50,000 people that already follow them. Most companies don't have that. So, yeah, they're going to attach to an individual. They're going to give them either a straight-up sponsorship deal, an ambassador type of situation, or a product line that they get a percentage of. That's going to happen. You're going to see apparel companies popping out of everywhere because somebody who makes T-shirts and hats happens to know they grew up with the starting quarterback at Notre Dame. And so, hey, let's go in business together. I'll take care of all of it. You get half of it. Just promote it, promote it, promote it, promote it. That's dope. You're going to see your favorite athletes plugging YouTube channel after YouTube channel and stream after stream. Like, that's going to happen. One of the best jobs you can have right now as a content creator is if you went to school for that, if you are a photographer, if you are a great editor, if you're like, opportunities all over the place for you.
Do you see this changing the landscape of college football? Because I don't. I think it's going to be almost exactly the same. Just
the players. Landscape of what?
College football is like who's good and who's not, who's a contender and who's not, who are the big schools and who aren't.
No,
big
I don't. I mean, I don't think so. I think.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I don't want to put people's business out there because I'm always careful about that. Like, I've heard the college's strategies on this. And we're talking about quarterbacks, and we're talking about attractive women, and we're talking about they're not. They're talking about, okay, what do we do for the most important players on the field, which are offense and defensive front seven? Like, how do we get them deals? Like, how do we recruit? You know, if I'm Bama, how do I make sure that they don't go on a visit somewhere else and leave because their endorsement deals at Georgia is better than ours at Alabama? Like, that's all being worked out right now. There's a plan for all of that. But there's also going to be players that never make a penny off of this. Like that it is capitalism and it is corruption at its finest. Who doesn't love that? 303 says, hey, Denny, do you think name, image, and likeness will affect the superstar player's choice of sitting out during bowl games, especially when the 12-team playoff hits? Absolutely. Absolutely. Every time they're on TV and make a big play, they pick up more followers. Every single time. The more they're out there, the better. Now, what's not going to happen is you're not going to see your favorite player wearing some brand on the field. That's not going to happen because the college's contract still overrides that. But you're going to see your favorite player posting about whatever brand he wants. It's probably not going to be Adidas, Nike, Under Armour. It's probably going to be something that you've never... I'll tell you guys this. We're going through it right now at 6 points with apparel. We're looking at options. We did the Adidas thing a couple years ago. We're looking at different options. The most attractive options to us...
Umbro.
No. Are companies that the average person have never heard of but do about $20 to $30 million in sales right now and are willing to really invest in your company. We get like 7 to 9 million social media hits per month, 6 points does, between TikTok, Instagram Reels, all that kind of stuff. That means nothing to Nike. It means everything to a company like Municipal, based, who is Mark Wahlberg's company based out of L.A. It means everything to companies like that who have, you know, 40 employees and are doing pretty well but want to take that next jump.
Their focus is on you, not on Usain Bolt.
Right, exactly. And that's going to be the same thing with these college guys. If they're smart, that's the way they would look at this. The other thing that's going to happen in the – like, everybody's asking, well, they have to pay taxes. Yes, they have to pay taxes. Everybody has to pay taxes. Like, that's part of it. I don't know why that's everybody's argument. Like, well, who's going to pay the taxes? They're going to have to pay the taxes.
Like, why do you go to work? You got to pay taxes on that money you make.
What's the point of y'all all asking this? Yes, they have to pay taxes. Everybody's got to pay taxes. It'll be 1099 income. Hopefully, they'll get some help. Hopefully, they've got people around them that will get some help. Is college sports going to be able to keep marketing agents out of this? No, they're not going to be able to. In some ways, they're going to be a necessity. It's going to creep in. So the college, the NCAA, might as well just go ahead and accept that and endorse it. They might as well make these marketing agents go through a class and be some type of NCAA compliant. Like that, they might as well go ahead and do it now. Because marketing agents are where it's at with it. I have one. I wouldn't have not a single deal if it weren't for him. Because I'm literally nobody, but he knows people. That's what these guys are going to have to do as well. I'm telling you, it is, even if you don't like the thought of it, is going to be highly entertaining to watch it, and it will not in any way, shape, or form diminish college football. In fact, it may help it. Because that guy who, you know what, I'm going to go out early because I think I'm a fourth or fifth rounder, Well, if he stays in, he's still getting paid $150,000. Maybe he comes back. Maybe these guys stay that extra year.
I like that.
Yeah. So that's my spiel on it. I'm learning. I don't know everything about it, but I'm being forced to learn about it. I've become very interested in it. It is the wave of the future. Might as well get on board. It's here. It's part of the college landscape as of July 1st. 8 o'clock, coming up next.
You mad, bro?
1010XL, 92.5 FM. Join us in the sports den. Call or text 641-1010.
Open up your heart and let that hate out.
8 o'clock, brought to you every single night by Green Acres, greenacresporting.com. That's where you need to go for all of your firearms. All of them. Hopefully, some of your dads got hooked up from Green Acres. I'm on their website right now, greenacresporting.com. Everything you can imagine, ammunition, guns, bows and arrows, everything right at Green Acres. Location right here in Jacksonville. You can get to it easily. You don't have to go anywhere else. Hunting, fishing, firearms, archery, whatever you want, ammo, everything right there at Green Acres. And the best part about them is they support the Sports Den. So you should support them as well.
They were prominently sponsored or prominently featured as a sponsor at Guns N' Hoses.
Of course, they're local. They stay local right here. Shop local. Get to Green Acres.
Once again, big shout out to Jack O'Brien for killing it this weekend.
Oh, Jack O'Brien, that's his element right
there. Exactly. This was a Super Bowl. I also like the outfit changes by not only Jack, but also the other ring guy and the ring girls.
Yes. What about the ring guys? You're not going to give them any credit?
I don't think they changed outfits, though.
They did not.
They just kind of had when it was a girl fight, they had the ring guys come in, and they got the biggest applause.
Oh, by far, yeah. 8774 Normandy Boulevard, that's where Green Acres is located. Concealed weapons classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Get over to greenacresporting.com. You got a 8 o'clock, JJ?
I do.
Awesome.
Real quick one is the Atlanta Braves. They just suck.
Did we take two?
No, we Cardinals won the two? Second game yesterday.
Oh, y'all did,
but
okay.
We took the series over the Cardinals, who are also falling back to irrelevancy with the Braves. The Cardinals and local team Rays taking it on the chin this week. I think they lost six in a row. They definitely got swept this weekend by Seattle, who's back above 500. Baseball, I know we're talking how great the NBA is. I'm watching just as much baseball. Like, I'm watching more baseball than I have in years.
I've calmed down with it since the playoffs have been on, the NBA playoffs,
mm-hmm.
because I don't have time to go both.
I'm a double screen guy.
Are you?
Yes. And I'm excited tonight. This is like first time in a while there's no basketball, so I could just dig in Padres versus Dodgers when I get home.
That'll
it's going to be exciting.
Great. Is Tatis still out, though?
He's day-to-day with a shoulder, but he might be back tonight. Okay, my 8 o'clock is NBA-related. It's the sideline reporting, dude. Not their actual reporting, but like they always come back and they put the game and a little screen in the corner. And remember when it used to be like, hey, let's ask literally one stupid question to this coach and he's going to give me one stupid answer and that's going to be it. It's going to be like a 15-second thing. We're going to get right to the game. It's not that anymore, man. If it's the coach interview, it goes on for multiple questions. It's long because now it's COVID friendly, so they're not even close to each other, and they do it like during the commercial break, so there's like not a time crunch where they have to get this question and go right to the game. They already did this is recorded and it's playing during the game. It's either that, the coach interview, or it's the whole let me give you a story of what's going on, and it's going to last for three possessions. I'm going to miss three possessions of basketball to hear whatever the hell she's talking about that doesn't matter, that's so irrelevant and stupid that I don't need to hear it.
So you're saying that the sideline reporters are trying to make it too much about themselves?
I don't know if it's not their fault. It's just like the directors, the producers, like the TV channel people. We don't need it. It sucks.
I don't care what the coach has to say right now.
Never. I've never cared what the coach has to say except at the end of the game. And I certainly don't care what the sideline reporter has to say when they're not even interviewing the coach. And if you want to do it so bad, then just put the audio on. Like, don't take away the game. Don't put it in some small screen in the corner like we're watching the OJ chase. I'm here for the game, not Malika, whatever the hell her name is. I don't give a damn what she has to say. It's so irrelevant every time. Like, have you ever heard anyone have any sideline news during any of these games so far in the playoffs that you're like, oh my God.
No.
That's, whoa, I never thought about that.
I mean, I want injury update.
Dude.
That's it.
Fine.
Yep. That's it.
I'm here for that. That takes 5 seconds.
Yeah. And there's things that can happen in the flow of a game, like a bad call.
That's
stuff
what the
like
play-by-play
that.
in the color commentator.
Well, if you
want to
go, if you want to send them on like a fact-finding mission, you know what I mean?
That's
like,
what they're good for is baseball. It's a slow sport. You walk around the stadium and you find like parents of players or like a guy who's wearing a goofy outfit.
Well, it's hot at the concession stand.
Yeah, exactly. Eat a crazy food item. Like, that's where I need you. I need Jessica Blaylock. I don't need you trying to fit in, I don't even know, a bunch of information in a short amount of time and taking away 3 possessions from my TV.
I agree.
And during the baseball broadcast, when they do those quirky things, they show the game and talk over it, but they're showing the game.
Yeah.
In the NBA, they don't. TNT, ESPN, handle that, dude. It sucks.
What about TNT? What about Shaq? What he said about Ben Simmons?
I didn't see.
Said if he was Ben Simmons' teammate, he would have punched him when he got into the locker room.
I believe that. I don't think he plays another game for Philly.
They said today they're going to stand beside him.
I saw that, but don't you sort of have to say that? I mean, I couldn't imagine them coming out immediately and be like, dude, you know this guy that's under contract for the next few years? Yep, he's gone. Not playing here. Because that also hurts trade value. I couldn't imagine his trade value being any lower, so that might be why they have to keep him
around.
It
is definitely an interesting story.
He didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter in the last 4 games of the series.
Well, because when he gets the ball, they foul him.
Yeah.
He's Shaq.
He's like scared to even drive to the basket because he doesn't want to.
And then the one time he drove yesterday, he passed up an open layup.
Which was crazy.
It was. It was. I mean, open layup and he passes it off. It's something's like he needs a sports psychologist in the worst way.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely mental.
So my hate o'clock is headlines. I'm going to read you a headline.
Fake news?
Kind of. It's suggestive, and it's playing on the public's lack of overall knowledge about topics. So the headline is, check your reservation. American Airlines just slashed nearly 1,000 July flights as Operation Woes mount. Well, I'm traveling a lot in July. So this headline caught my attention because I'm like, 1,000 flights? Sounds like a lot, right? Like, if I'm flying American, oh crap.
And that could mean 999,000.
Well, let me put it in perspective. Let me put it
1,000.
How about this? You have to read deep into the article to find this. Most of the proactive cancellations are for the first half of the month and amount to, you ready? 1% of the flights that were planned.
We got a lot of flights. Didn't even realize.
1%. Like,
clickbait.
Shouldn't that be the headline? 1,000 flights equals 1%. Did you know that? Like, I would read that headline. Instead of scaring me into thinking that, oh, crap.
And they'll tell you that you have to get a hybrid car because you're ruining the environment with your vehicle. Meanwhile,
yes, a thousand
flights is thousands of flights is 1% of flights
1%.
Like, and they'll never say that we need to stop air travel.
Is that not insane?
I didn't realize that.
I didn't either. Like, when I saw the headline, 1,000 flights, I seriously thought, man, they're cutting like half their flights.
Did you? I'm sure you did. That Southwest thing a couple weeks ago? where they got like hacked or something.
Yeah.
I didn't really follow that story. I just know that Lauren Brooks, it affected her.
Can I play conspiracy theory?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
That's what this show's for.
Okay. I'm calling BS on some of this.
Paul.
Yes. Not everybody is getting hacked, and not everybody has a shortage of workers, and not everything is happening at one time. Everybody's looking at this and going, whoa, this is a chance for us to create supply and demand issues so that I can raise my prices. Are you telling me that McDonald's and Wawa are losing employees as fast as American and freaking Airlines? Like, no, American Airlines is not. No, stop. Those $300 checks didn't help pilots.
No.
They may have helped the baggage guys, but no, not everybody in the world is having a shortage of everything. They're trying to get all of us to pay more for the same crap that we have to buy anyway. And I'm like,
you want them to prove it. You want them to prove it.
I just want them to stop. Just stop.
Show me your roster of workers.
Yes. Show me the decline. I want to interview everybody.
Are you saying that plane flights are expensive?
Well, if by that headline, because I'm going to tell you right now who's put that headline out is American Airlines in the press release said we're stopping 1,000 flights. And I guarantee you, if you go to American Airlines, and I don't know this, but I'd be willing to bet if you booked a flight 3 weeks ago with them, it was cheaper than it is today because of these 1,000 flights that make up less than 1%. We got a thing in our group chat about people not selling chicken wings anymore.
That story scared me, dude.
Wingstop
is now selling thighs because of the chicken wing shortage. This is not a drill, people.
No.
This is not fake.
No, this is not fake news.
Wingstop. Yes. Wingstop. Their wing is in their name. They're now selling boneless thighs because of the lack of chicken wings in this country.
I'm calling BS on all of it. All of it. There's not a shortage of cooking oil. What is that? How can there be a shortage of cooking oil? Stop. It's not. Like, not every single factory in the world shut down to make freaking masks. Okay, that excuse is done. That's old. If you go to any store, they're overrun with masks. It's the only thing that we have in excess right now. Like, factories didn't shut. It worked with fitness equipment. Y'all got us with that now. Y'all got us because that same pull-up bar we were paying $99 for, we were all, like, foaming at the mouth to pay $300 for this time last year. Y'all got us with that. Our fault.
Remember
we set
bike?
A new bar, and now you're taking advantage of the American people.
What was the bike?
It's old. Peloton?
Yeah, the price for the Peloton.
They stay consistent. You just couldn't get it.
Oh.
Like that. If you want me to believe, then be Peloton. And just tell me, you know what? It's two racks still. You just ain't going to have it for 8 months. Okay,
jeez.
You know what? I believe you. I believe you because what you could have done is said, well, we had to shut down the manufacturing of 1,000 a day, so we're going to charge $3,000. Like American Airlines and everybody else, but they didn't.
In 8 months, I probably won't even feel like getting in shape by then.
I mean,
it'll be too late.
I've had enough of it, man.
I
forced inflation is
all
this crap. I
understand what
is.
You're saying, but I think it's easy to say that living in Florida and being like, dude, what the hell are they talking about? Like, everyone's been working for a whole year, but the rest of the country hasn't been like that. And when they say, like, there's not a lot of workers or whatever for American Airlines, they're definitely not talking about the pilots. They're talking about these guys doing your bags and fixing the planes and all that crap.
This many people don't care about benefits and retirement.
Yes.
And actually getting up and being productive with their life.
I'm telling you that when you get a check and it's close to the same amount that you make, even if you're making more at work and with benefits, the cost of staying at home and not working a lick is almost worth it. You know, like say you get $16 an hour at your job.
I understand.
But say you're getting $13 from the government. But you don't have to work 40 hours a week. It's worth it.
But
I get to sit on my ass. So basically, you have to go work for $3 an hour.
But here's the thing that nobody's talking about in this whole thing.
Like it's simple
people
economics.
Who have been making money are making more money right now. Like it's happening. Like there's a good part of this too. Like our business when COVID first happened, we are a luxury training quarterbacks. I thought, oh crap, man, our business.
I'm not
charging more than we ever have and doing
exactly,
more business.
Exactly, the
than we
business
ever
have. Major business corporations and stuff are not doing bad. It's us. Dude, do you realize how much we have to pay more for food, for gas, for everything? We're getting screwed, dude.
See, that's my point, JJ.
Because prices are more, we're getting screwed.
That's my point.
Like
the big guy doesn't care. To be more. That's
but
my
I'm
point.
Saying, yes, they do. Like that, they're not
994. We know. Like that's what we're saying. 994 Texas is the chicken wing prices. They've
obviously
gone from $80. We know that. We talk about it every Thursday. It's like
maybe
that's
some,
our point.
Maybe some people are lying and being like, "Hey, we have to raise prices or whatever." But
there's some
you
business
can
owner
see,
that sells a product that there's that's plentiful, and they're like, you know what? I'm just going to say it's running out.
When you're advertising on the corner, McDonald's is hiring past $15 an hour. Of course, the price of a burger has to go up.
Yep.
For them to be able to afford workers. That everything has to be higher priced because they're paying workers higher because it's harder to get workers. It's simple economics. It's so basic.
Well, let me clarify something. I'm not saying
you're
that
saying
all
there
of
is
this.
Some companies.
I'm saying that people
that
are taking advantage of this.
I can believe that. Absolutely.
Not everything in the world is in a shortage right now. If it is, then we need to all just hunker down. Like then everything's coming to an end. All right. Not
well, I wasn't
everything
gonna go that far.
Is not everything is in a shortage.
I'm just mad about how much I have to pay for gas.
I mean, think about
when
it.
I go to the grocery store.
Just think about this for a second. If you go buy a car dealership right now, there are some car dealerships that have new cars on their lot. Five.
Jeez.
Five new cars on their lot. And the price of cars has gone up drastically. Like in some cases, like trucks have gone up $10,000 and $15,000. Price of lumber and homes and things like that. Like, stop. Just y'all stop.
I wish they would stop too.
Is a chip shortage for everything? The chip maker? Is there one maker? I don't know. Maybe I'm too dumb to understand.
Mr. Lay.
Not those chips.
Oh. Computer chips.
480 says we definitely need Big Leon's thoughts on Wingstop.
My favorite, lemon pepper.
Thigh stop.
No.
Yeah, they're going to write him some whole new script about how he's like a thigh guy.
Dom says JJ's 100% right. Exactly. JJ's 100% right. They still have my overtime restricted. The price for everything has gone up because of inflation and higher minimum wages, but I haven't gotten a raise. People who work in corporate America are hurting. I get that, Dom. I do. I understand. But that's not even really what I'm talking about, because I agree with y'all.
He's just saying there's companies taking advantage of this by claiming that they're also
right. They're going to force a price rise. They're going to force extra supply and demand. So what's going to happen? Like, they're setting a new floor. Like, we've established on this show that we'll pay $25 for 10 chicken wings.
Oh, yeah. Do you think they're going to go down in price now?
No. They're not going to go, oh, well, it's fixed. We're going to go back down to our original prices. No.
Government stopped sending checks, so we're going to bring the shoe price down. No.
All right, we got a break. What did we say we're going to get into?
NBA. We have
I want to get a little more
Brady talk.
Yes, the Tom Brady quote today. Definitely want to get into that coming up next.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
Boy, the text line. Man. Y'all getting that? 445. My aunt owns a restaurant. She told me the wings have went up $3 a pound in the last month alone. We are aware. 465. You need to leverage the market to raise your salary. 962, there is shortage on food such as wings due to everyone being home for a year eating their asses off. Uh, 449, why is there a wing shortage? Let's see. There's a ton of texts about this stuff. Everybody's frustrated with it. Everybody. It was all fine until y'all messed with the chicken wings. Y'all realize that, right? Like, the powers that be, y'all realize we were all going along. You went up on the gas prices. You went up on homes. You went up on all this stuff. People didn't lose their mind until you went up on wings.
And you'd force people to eat thighs.
Right. Right. I think in the next election, we found your platform. Wing prices. You put a cap on wing prices, I'm voting for you. Period. Tom Brady. What was he on?
Uninterrupted, season 4, episode 2.
That's LeBron's
out Friday
show, right?
It is. Never actually watched an episode.
I see. You know, it's funny because they do a really good job with the marketing of it. What's it on?
HBO.
Oh, I have HBO. I wonder why I haven't watched it. Because I always see the stuff on social media. I'm like, oh, that looks good.
But because if there's ever any news that breaks, you'll see it. It's going to be on Twitter or ESPN or something. So, like, you don't have to watch the whole episode.
I think it's like a
momentum
thing.
When Draymond was on and he broke news, it was like, oh, here's the clip. But I'm not going to watch a 30-minute episode.
I was half listening because I was looking for something else. What season is this?
4.
Oh, wow. Okay, never mind. Because I was going to use I Am Athlete as an example because I Am Athlete has blown up. Podcast with Brandon Marshall, Fred Taylor, Ocho Cinco, Channing Crowder. But for like for a year, all I saw were like reels and TikToks that showed me like 30-second clips, and I would laugh and I think, aha, that's awesome. But I would never even think to go watch it. And then one day I went and watched it, and like I'm hooked to it. I'm wondering if I need to go check this out. Because they had Jay-Z on a couple weeks ago, I think. Like the last episode. They get good guests, as you would imagine, with LeBron. But Tom Brady was on it. Tom Brady still holds motivation towards, what's the right word?
I was going to say a grudge.
Yeah, that's probably the better way to put it. Maybe not motivation as much as
he's
grudges.
Pissed.
Yes, go ahead with the sound.
So it's very short. So catch it at the very beginning.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
Anything? Boom.
So he's talking about when he left the Patriots, before he went to the Bucks. And he was talking about one of the teams who was originally interested but were not interested at the end. And he said, you're sticking with that MF-er, meaning their quarterback. We don't know who it is. We can only assume it may be San Francisco.
It sounded like he was saying it in a condescending tone.
Yes.
Not, you can say that word in a positive light. I didn't take it as that.
No.
It was Jimmy G.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He hated him since the Patriot days.
Isn't it interesting, though, that you can be...
And now he has free reign to definitely say that because he had such a bad year. Jimmy G got hurt. So he's like, obviously, I was the right choice. I won the Super Bowl. But, like, take it back a year. It wasn't the easy choice.
Well, I think that almost makes his point for him because take it back a year... San Francisco was way more of a favorite than Tampa.
Coming off a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and Brady going to Tampa, like, changed everything. What if Brady would have gone to San Francisco?
So they would have gotten rid of a quarterback who just went to the Super Bowl
they wouldn't,
for a
42-year-old. They wouldn't have had Trey Lance.
Boom. Game, set, match.
Chestnut checkers. We're trading in our Super Bowl for Trey Lance.
But now, in hindsight, you're like, oh, my God, what a boneheaded decision to not have Brady over Jimmy G.
But it's just hearing him talk about that, like, that's fresh on his mind still. There's still aggression and passion in that statement. Like, this is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. Fresh off of a Super Bowl. At however old he is.
He'll be 43 August, I believe.
And he's talking about the team that didn't sign him. Like, that's Maurice Jones-Drew wearing number 32 type stuff. Like, for the 32 teams that passed on him. Like, that's... Man, you would think that you would mature past that, but I guess those guys just always have, like the Jordan documentary, Last Dance.
I made up that story.
I mean, yeah, they're always looking for ways to be upset. Yeah.
He claimed that some rookie for Charlotte or something that scored like 40 and a half came up to him and said something to him at halftime, right?
It was and something
and then he
wild.
Went and like destroyed him in the second half. And they're like, dude, that never happened. That guy never said one word to him.
No, it was definitely wild. It's just the psychology of these athletes is so fascinating to me.
Do you think that they say who he's talking about on the episode? I call BS.
I don't know. I've never watched it, so I don't know.
There's no way. Even Brady would, I mean, especially Brady, he would know that not to release something like that.
I feel like Brady has turned over a new leaf since he got to Florida, man.
Yo, so he's just going to be brash going out there calling Jimmy G a crappy MF-er.
Well, it's funny because
I highly doubt that.
I'm reading an article right now on Pro Football Talk that, you know, Brady's going to New England on October 3rd. The Bucs play the Patriots. If Mac Jones is the starter, it would be the largest age difference between two starting quarterbacks ever. Ever. Because Mac Jones will be 23. He turns 23 on September 5th. Brady will be 44. A whole drinking person difference in age between the two starting quarterbacks.
How old is Brady's oldest child?
I have no idea. I don't know. It's a great question. Because his oldest child was with his ex-wife.
I didn't know he had an ex-wife.
Yeah, he left her when she was pregnant for Giselle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think she was also an actress, if I remember right. First wife. Tom Brady, first wife. Yeah, Bridget Moynihan.
Wow, his Wikipedia is huge.
Brady's?
Yeah. Personal life.
Yeah, they split in 2006. Months
around the time Moynihan became pregnant.
Yeah.
So born in 2007, how old are you? 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. Like nobody talks about Brady. Like I mean,
was really hoping he had a son that was Mac's age. Ruined everything.
You're really hoping he had a son that would do the Ken Griffey Jr. Senior thing.
Well, yeah, LeBron's doing that.
You think?
Yes. LeBron said it, I believe it. He's going to last in the league until his son comes to play. And even if his son's not good enough to play, this is a genius dad move, by the way, to say, I'm going to play on whatever team my son is on. So that means even if his son isn't good enough to get in the league, some team's going to bring his son and put him on their team just so LeBron can come and play with him. So a team can get LeBron just by getting his son. Even though he's not good. I mean,
is LeBron going to be good then?
That's a good question, but the way these athletes are aging, bro, I don't know. LeBron and KD might still be balling in 10 years, dude.
Yeah.
KD looks a lot older than he actually is.
He plays a lot older than he actually is.
Like mid-range.
Yeah. He
can do everything, man. He's the best offensive player in the world.
I'm very bitter easily. About this whole year. Just because they told us it was going to happen. That's the only... I mean, I was in here telling RJ when the season started, like, bro, don't even get your hopes up. Just listen to the way KD and LeBron are talking. They had no interest in this year. And that just, I don't know, that irks me. I'm pro player in a lot of things, but that one right there...
Well, next year they're getting it started on time. They're doing all 82. And
yeah, but they're still going longer now. I mean, because the season should have already been over.
Yeah, but they're starting the season back when it normally does in mid-October next year. So, like, they'll have a really short, not really short, but a shorter off season.
Yeah.
Because remember, this season they didn't start until Christmas or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. I get it. It is kind of weird because three seasons have been affected or will be affected. But... part of the deal, man. People's lives have been affected. Like y'all's can be affected too.
Yeah,
it'll be okay.
Exactly.
You're gonna be just fine with your 40 load management days.
There was Lots of loads being managed.
Yes.
This season.
Yes, you're going to be fine. We need to take a break, don't we?
We do.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
It is The Sports Den, Monday night edition of The Sports Den. Hopefully you all had a great weekend. Hopefully you guys got out to Guns N' Hoses. Then got Dad something really good for Father's Day. You're a father. Happy Father's Day to you. Hopefully you had a great one. Plenty of good sports on yesterday. We haven't really talked too much about the golf. We haven't really talked about too much Game 7 stuff.
What did you get for Father's Day?
Apple Watch.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, I got taken care of.
I was expecting like a tire.
When have you ever seen me wear a tie?
I know. I was just joking. I liked your attire during Guns N' Hoses.
Sweatshirt?
Didn't change.
Yeah.
Didn't change at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neither did Hack.
I spent the first half of my life in a suit, so I'm good.
Although I think Hack did wear jeans. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, he did wear jeans.
That's impressive. And Hack James rolling, looked amazing.
Yeah, James looked like he was like going to model something.
Mm.
Hack brought the whole crew too.
I saw.
540 said, "Hey JJ, what do you think about segregation?"
Oh, what in the world? In what context?
Jeez. Hey, can we talk about Trae Young for a second?
Absolutely.
Trae Young had a miserable shooting night last night.
Until when it mattered most.
And was still a superstar. That's where I was going. Like, I realized last night, I didn't realize how young he was.
It's hard to tell because of the bald.
He's 22?
Terrible hair.
Is that right? I think he's 22, I think.
Yep.
And I'm trying to look up the box score from yesterday. But I'm thinking, miserable shooting night. Like, really, like Ben Simmons bad.
Well, he was like 4 of 21, I think.
Yeah.
Simmons would have only taken like 5 shots.
Well, see, I think Simmons took a lot more last night. Look up what Simmons was. Actually, I've got it. I just found it. Just found it. Hold, please. We need hold music for when we do this. Trae Young was 5 of 23, 2 of 11 from 3-point range. Oh, yeah, you're right. Simmons only took 4 shots. Holy cow. You.
The guy disappeared.
Maybe I saw like the stats for the whole series. But 5 of 23, 2 for 11 from 3-point range.
9 of 11 from the line, though.
Yep.
Super important points.
21 points, but was still, like, if you watched the game, which I hope a lot of you did, like, was still the guy. Was still, like, I mean, he hit the huge three with, what, 3 minutes left, 4 minutes left, right. Something like that. Everything still ran through Trae Young. Like, dude is a bona fide superstar. And will be, am I crazy to say this, will be a top 5 player in the league in the next couple years?
I wouldn't say that.
He's 22, bro.
Yeah, maybe in like, I don't know, 5. When you go through who the top 5 players are, it's hard. Who are you going to take out?
Well, he was traded for one of the top 5.
So you'd put Luka in there already.
Yeah, definitely.
And certainly making that trade seem a lot more interesting as the days go by, even though obviously you'd still take Luka. But man, even a few months ago, people were like, worst trade of all time for the Hawks.
Yeah.
And in that draft as well, DeAndre Ayton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe top 5 is pushing it. Maybe so. Yeah. He's so much fun to watch.
Top 5 point guard, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Well, no doubt. He's that now.
What about my boy Kevin Herter yesterday? With
was
people,
that
which they didn't talk was
that
about
meme
this.
I sent you not a story.
Hilarious. Oh, I'm about to tell you something even funnier. But people were not talking about this, the broadcast specifically, about the fact that the second best player, Bogdanovich, was hurt.
Yep.
Like, that would have been detrimental to almost any team in a Game 7. Not for them, because they had Kevin Herter come in, who's been good like his whole career. He's only been in the league for a few years, but nobody knows about him. He's just like a nerdy white guy with red hair and super pale skin, so people assume he sucks. Okay, so my uncle, who's a huge Philly fan, lives in Philly, was texting me the entire series, and he was like, I would have bullied that kid in high school. Okay, my and I was like, he's 6'7". No, you wouldn't have. My uncle is like 5'8 on a good day, maybe. Like short, old Italian guy. No, you wouldn't bullied Kevin Herter.
Well,
you would have beat
your ass. If you want to know what's going right with the Hawks, check this out. Young and Bogdanović yesterday were a combined 7 of 31. Okay, so if you would have said that going into the game, you'd have been like,
lost
they're
by
getting
30.
Blown out. The other, see, Collins, Capella, and Herter were 11, 21 of 34 from the field. Like, that's crazy. Your best two players shoot some abysmal percentage, and the other three step up and shoot 70% for the game.
Philly turned it over like 18 times.
Philly was bad. Philly had so many.
So bad.
You're right. Well, you said something the other day that I realized last night. You were so right on. If Seth Curry didn't have the Curry last name.
Like, Seth Jenkins would be known as one of the best shooters in the NBA. But because he's Steph's brother, everybody's like, oh, yeah, he's pretty good. But, like, he doesn't get the respect he deserves.
With him on the floor, if they could get Simmons to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they, yeah.
It almost ends up with, like, a two-man action between, like, Seth and Embiid, like, every single time down the floor. Like, Doc Rivers' game plan sucked. And all they did was like, okay, here's Embiid facing the basket with like 10 seconds on the shot clock by yourself. All right, do your thing, bro. Like, it's all in your hands. I really felt bad for Embiid in that series, man. Like, he's getting no help from his coach, from his point guard. I just can't see Ben Simmons coming back next year.
Especially to Philly. Like, if it was anybody else. No, what I'm saying, if it was Orlando.
Oh, that play you're saying, like, playing in Philly. Yeah, he's getting booed by his own fans every time he goes to the free throw line. Like, that's the hardest place to play if you're a home player sucking.
We need to take a break.
Yeah, we do. But real quick, when they threw that first cup on the floor yesterday, I thought that was going to lead to Armageddon.
I did too.
Thank God the Philly fans checked themselves and were like, let's not do that.
Yeah.
Let's not let one bad apple ruin the whole bunch, because it was close.
Let's take our final break. We'll come right back and wrap up the Monday edition of the Sports Den. I tell you the difference between me and them. They're trying to get the ones and trying to get the M's. 1 million, 2 million, 3 million.
You're listening to the Sports Den on 1010XL.
Wrapping up the Sports Den. We do have a hot take on the text line, though, JJ. Not about that.
A Stephen A. hot take?
No, 480 says, with that Raiders player coming out today, do y'all think Hard Knocks looks at the Raiders now instead of the Jags?
For one guy that nobody's ever heard of?
I mean, it's a hot take.
Oh, yeah, that is a hot take. No, they're not looking at the Raiders. They don't give a damn about this guy. They care about Tebow, bro.
Carl Nassib, just to catch y'all up, came out today as openly gay.
I think 10 years ago, absolutely. But now it's like a guy came out as gay. I was like, okay, next.
Yeah. When are they going to announce this Hard Knock stuff?
I think soon.
I'm here for it. I'm ready.
You know what we didn't talk about last week?
What?
The Waffle House guy.
We need to get to that. Well, that's not a whole segment.
No.
How many waffles could you eat?
He only ate 8. So the story was, he lost in fantasy football. So as the loser in that league, you have to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House. And for every waffle you eat, that's 1 hour off the 24. So he stayed however long that was, ate 8 waffles, 16 hours, I guess.
Right.
Dude, I'll kill 8 waffles in 2 hours, easy.
Really?
I mean, they're big waffles at Waffle House, but yes. If it's... I'll be on performance-enhancing drugs, but I'll do it, bro. Easy. No problem. 4 in 1 hour? Yes. No syrup? That's the key. You have to, like, you can't fill yourself up on syrup.
Well, I mean, waffles without syrup?
It sucks. It's going to be dry as hell. Maybe, like, just get it a little damp. I don't know. I don't know what my strategy would be, but it would be way more than eight.
I mean, should we come up with something like that for this year's fantasy league?
I used to think the league where you lost and had to get a tattoo of the winner's choice was awesome.
I'm not doing that. That ain't happening.
You get to pick where it is, so it could be hidden. It could be on your ass.
It ain't happening. I'm just not playing.
Wuss. Yeah, we have a few guys in our league who don't have any tattoos, and they were not willing to make that their first.
If I ever agree to that, you can just go ahead and assume that if I lose it all, I'm not doing it.
Have you ever lost last place in fantasy football, though? Never.
No.
You have to be so
terrible. I'll
tell you
why this is a bold strategy is because it keeps people engaged in setting their lineups.
All year.
Like, we need to come up with something. Because I thought about it. I'm like, man, this is genius. Because
guys will start 0-4 and be like, well, in my league especially, they'll start 0-4 and start selling all their players for draft picks next year.
Yeah, we had that a couple years ago with one of our interns, actually. That was here. And then this past year, it was just like we had a couple dudes that didn't even set their lineup the last 5 weeks. They're playing.
I'd kick you out for that.
Yeah, they're like half their leagues on a bye. And of course, I never get to play those people.
Yeah, it's the person you're competing against for that last playoff spot. I hate fantasy football, but I do it every year.
So maybe in the summer here, while we got nothing to talk about, we'll do a show on what we need to do.
Get some listener
last
interaction.
Place. Yeah. Maybe we'll do that Wednesday.
I like the Waffle House idea.
Yeah, it's not bad. It is not bad.
Gotta
all right.
Take the day off of work.
We got to run. We will be off tomorrow night. We'll be back on Wednesday. Both James and I will be here with JJ on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. We'll talk to you guys then. Have a great evening.